Welcome to Editor's Podcast, weekly podcast number 4. This is Editor Lindsay Mosley, and I'm by myself this week. And this week we're talking about Animal Crossing addiction, which is very possible. You can be addicted to Animal Crossing, more so back in the day, but it is possible to be addicted to it now. And we're going to talk about how you can get addicted, what's the symptoms, how to break the addiction, and why exactly I'm not going back into rehab anytime soon. Yeah, they told me to go to rehab, and I said no. First things first, what is Animal Crossing? Well, if you've been living under a rock for the past, 5 or 6 years, you wouldn't know about Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing is The Sims without The Sims. It's The Sims with animals. And the need for bodily functions, because you don't have to go to the bathroom in Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing is Nintendo's answer to The Sims. You take your little character, you make your town, you give it a name, you give your character a name, and you move to this little town where you have no money, and you are under the debt of a raccoon named Tom Nook. Tom Nook owns your house, so you have to pay Tom Nook back and make something of yourself in your little town, wherever you named it. And it's an interesting game. It's very interesting. I thought when I first started playing Animal Crossing that I had never played anything like it, except maybe The Sims, and I didn't like Sims a whole lot. It was a little too cartoony, and I didn't like the fact that you had to make your character do all kinds of stuff, like, you know, work and get a job and all that. Animal Crossing is a game about nothing. It is really a game about nothing. You are not forced to do anything that you do not want to do in the game. If you decide you want to boot up your game and you don't want to go in and do anything all day except, catch butterflies or something, as long as they're in the season, you can do it. And the game doesn't dock you. It doesn't penalize you for not paying off your loan in a certain amount of time. It doesn't penalize you because you don't have a job or you don't have any money for your little house or to buy clothes or accessories and food and that kind of stuff, because your character didn't have to eat. It's very laid back. That's the one thing I've come to learn about Animal Crossing. It's extremely laid back. It is about what you want to do. So, I think Animal Crossing is probably one of my favorite games. It's one of my favorite series, at least. I began playing Animal Crossing in June of 2003. As a matter of fact, I bought my game in probably late May of 2003, and then I graduated from college and went off on my own. I left home for the first time and lived by myself for an internship in the newspaper industry. And I had to get up and go to work every day, which I was used to. I was kind of used to that, having been in school. I had to get up at about 8 or 9, be to work by 10. I had a little bit of a commute. I had to drive about 20 minutes. So I was staying in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I had to get on busy I-85, and then get on 77. So it was a bit of a commute. It was probably about 20, 25 minutes every day. But I would get up and eat breakfast, get dressed, play Animal Crossing. I remember specifically I booted up my game the very first time on my GameCube on June 9th, 2003. It was the week before my birthday. And in the game, I had, of course, tell the animals when my birthday was. And so I put in my actual real birthday. And when my birthday came up, one of the little animals, it was an ape, I think, brought over Donkey Kong for me for my birthday present. And I thought it was so cute. So I played Donkey Kong a little bit. And I didn't even like Donkey Kong that much. And actually, my exposure to Animal Crossing began before that, because a really great friend of mine, who gets his fourth mention in our podcast this week, David, his girlfriend at the time, was heavily into Animal Crossing. And she says to me, she says, Lindsay, you should play this. This is a great little game. And I'm like, what's Animal Crossing? She's like, you don't know what Animal Crossing is? I'm like, no, never seen Animal Crossing a day in my life. What is it? And she's like, it's like The Sims without animals, with animals. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she's like, well, did you like The Sims? I was like, no. And she's like, well, you might like this. It's a little bit different, but it's really cute. And, you know, you're going to get sucked into it. And sure enough, I did. By the time I finished my internship and came back home, it was August. I had already paid off my primary character, and I made a second character who was a boy. I made a boy and named him after one of my really, really good friends, Kaya, and had made so much money for my main character that I had enough money to transfer over to him to pay off his portion of the loan of his house and get him set up and get him a bank account, which you can't do until you pay off your loan. It was, I mean, that was interesting. I spent a lot of time playing Animal Crossing, because in between the time that I ended my internship and I got a job, an actual real world job out on my own, I had time on my hands. I mean, I was sitting there all day in between looking for jobs, playing Animal Crossing. So, by the time I moved, it was early October 2003. I moved out on my own and moved to Spartanburg. And it was just me for a little bit. I got a cat later, which you'll hear us talk about my cat from time to time. He's with other people right now. I had to give him away, but for about a year I had a black cat named Frisky. And Frisky liked to play Animal Crossing too. Frisky was enthralled with Animal Crossing. He liked the sounds that the animalese made. And he'd always like stand in front of my TV and just be like entranced, and he would sit there and look at it, and I think he was trying to figure out what it was, but he would get agitated by it, and he'd like walk around in circles, and then he'd go sit back in front of the TV, and it's like, Frisky, move, I can't see. he's a very beautiful jet black Angora fur, but we, for a little bit, it was just me, and I would get home from work, and because I worked what's normal shift in the newspaper industry as a copy editor and page designer, I worked from 4 to 12, or 4 to 1 most times, but mostly 4 to 12, and I would get home and play Animal Crossing. It would be in the middle of the night, of course, because Animal Crossing is real time, but, I would get home, do a little fishing, might do a little bug catching, depending on when it was, because certain things, like, I would be looking for certain ones. And by the time I got all the way, I think it was, I caught my last bug and my last fish. I think I caught my last fish in December of 2003. It was my first Christmas away from home. And I remember catching it and then getting up the next day and driving home. Driving back to Columbia to see my parents. But I would say at the time I was obsessed with Animal Crossing. I played so much Animal Crossing that I probably dreamed about Animal Crossing. I had a membership with AC Central, which is Animal Crossing Central. They're no longer up anymore. They don't even have their database and trading system up anymore. I would go there and make trades with folks to get certain items in the game, because you could input codes in the original version of Animal Crossing. You could input codes, and if you went to Nook and said, say, code, and you could get a certain item, which was exploited later on. Most people exploited that feature in the game, and they took it out. But more on that later, because that was a very interesting part about the first Animal Crossing. That most people who just, you know, casually play Animal Crossing would not know about. But it, I think by then I had caught everything, and I was making trades, and I had set out with a goal of filling out my entire catalog, which, if you've ever played Animal Crossing, your catalog is your lifeline. That is where everything you come into contact with in the game is inset into your catalog with Nook. You can go to Nook and order said item, or if it's a very special or rare item, you cannot order it from him. You could sell it to him, but you cannot order it from him. Great example is like some of the NES games in Animal Crossing, which was another part of the say codes exploit. But some of the NES games in the original, you could not buy from Nook, but you could sell to him. But once I figured out how to get around that, and I downloaded an Animal Crossing code generator that someone had made up. The guy took a lot of time to make this up, and I still have it saved. I don't play the original Animal Crossing anymore, but I have the code generator saved, so if I ever need an item or something, I can just go in and give myself a code, and then go to Nook and say code and get this item. It's a very unique program, I thought. But that's how deep I was into Animal Crossing at that point. I knew a lot about the game without really... I mean, I did a lot of research, but it was... I knew a lot about the game. More than most people did. And I originally really, really just wanted to get something to play. And I just like to design little outfits for my character. And I like building up my little house. I was trying to do the kitty set in the house. I was trying to run the kitty set, which, again, is another way you can tell I play a lot of Animal Crossing, because I could tell you different terms for doing sets, like collecting sets for the house. Like, you're running a set in the house. You could run a set upstairs, or run a set in your middle room, in your main room, and then just store stuff downstairs. I also knew certain things, such as the Forbidden Four games, NES games, that you could not get in the American version without some sort of special code. Which, that was another thing about Animal Crossing, was the hotness that was getting those NES games. If I remember correctly, there were several games you could not get. They were very special. But some of them you could get in the American version, and you just had to know how to get them. Such as Wario's Woods and, gosh, I can't think of the other one. It's another one that, I think it's baseball, that you got on the island. You got on your little mini tropical island that was in the GameCube version. And you had to make your little island villager do special things to get the games and then bury them for you. And then you could go and, you know, dig them up and take them back to the main, to your main island, to your main town or whatever. The Forbidden Four, however, and y'all have heard me just mention this, the Forbidden Four was, Super Mario Brothers, The Legend of Zelda, Ice Climbers, and Punch-Out. And to a certain extent, Mario Brothers, but I've never come across Mario Brothers, just the original Mario Brothers, in Animal Crossing. I know it's supposedly there, but I've never come across it in the entire time that I've been playing it. I cannot get a code that works for it. I can't. I really cannot do it. And I've tried it a number of ways. But the original Forbidden Four, you could not get in the American version whatsoever. Until someone figured out how to get Punch-Out. And if you use the code generator, you can get Punch-Out. It generates a code for Nook, and you go tell it to him, and he says, you know, you've been awarded. He says some gobbledygook nonsense message that you are awarded Punch-Out for winning a contest or something. But the difference, the other three, you cannot get unless you use an action replay. You can't not get them in the game, even using the code generator. It will never generate a code with Nook that works. The codes themselves are probably correct. And this is a caveat and a warning from the creator that I remember reading. He said that the codes are probably correct. It's just you cannot use them because the game will never accept the input. It will never say that this is a correct code. It will always say the code is wrong. And that's because Nintendo of America put in some block on it. And we cannot figure out what block it is, but it was a block that they placed on getting those games at all. So the only way to get them, and to get subsequently the Mario themed items in the original, was to put in action replay, and you could unlock them that way. And actually, the Mario-themed items, you could input a code to Nook. You could say code to Nook and get those items. But it was kind of easier just to use the action replay and be done with it. But, and I actually ran the Mario-themed items, and I ran that set in my house for about a year, in my upstairs building, part of my building. But to get Mario, Super Mario Brothers, The Legend of Zelda, and Ice Climbers, you have to use an action replay. And once you get them, you can actually sell the games for about $10,000 to $12,000, depending on how much Nook. I can't remember exactly which ones Nook will pay for exactly, but I know it's between $10,000 and $12,000. But they're working copies. They actually work once you put them in your game. They actually work. So, it's an interesting, concept of how they got that to work, and with the emulators for Animal Crossing, and I thought that it was a genius idea to put that in the game. They gave it so much replay value. I was kind of mad that they didn't put it in Wild World for DS, which I bought. I got Wild World for Christmas in 2006, I do believe. My husband gave it to me, and I was very, very, very excited. I got it and Mario Kart DS and I think Nintendogs I bought myself. And I got Metroid Prime Hunters. I didn't get Metroid Prime Hunters. I got Metroid Pinball. I bought Metroid Pinball for myself. Because I really like Metroid, and I'm kind of sort of a pinball fan. Metroid Prime Hunters came as a demo. Now that I think about it, it was just a demo. At the time. I got an original DS. I got one of the fat DSs. It was real cute. I got a red one. And I got an Animal Crossing skin a little bit later to put on it. And that DS was stolen. In 2007, I think. So, I wound up having to buy a DS Lite. I got a DS Lite for my birthday that year. But I wound up having to buy Animal Crossing again. Both the GameCube version and the DS version. My original DS town and my original GameCube town were both lost because someone stole the games. So, and my memory card, which it would have been okay if they just left a memory card for the GameCube version, but no, they had to take that too. So I had to start all over again. I have now consequently started over probably 5 or 6 times in Animal Crossing. So I'm in no mood to really start over again in Animal Crossing. I'm not. Much as I love Animal Crossing, I've started a game in my town on my DS Lite. Once I bought the game again, and I again had to start over because I messed myself up and put wound up putting in a code, trying to get something else, and put in a dummy item, which is called a seed. I wound up putting that into one of my rooms in my house in the DS version, and wound up having to start all over again. So, that was probably the fifth or sixth time I'd already done it. I was like, I'm not doing this again. So, when City Folk came out, I, of course, was eagerly anticipating City Folk because I had played so much Animal Crossing that I looked forward to the new release on the Wii. And I read the reviews. I played it. I actually went and played it in GameStop. And I wasn't impressed. Actually, I didn't play it at GameStop. I played it at Play and Trade in Columbia, which, folks, if you're looking for games, go to Play and Trade in Columbia. Ask for Brian. Tell him I sent you. Thought I'd throw in that little bit of an ad, but I played it in Play and Trade, and I wasn't impressed. I wasn't impressed with the new Animal Crossing. I thought it was too much of the same. I was like, this is now the same game. This is the same, almost. It improves upon the original. If we're going to compare games, which I normally would not do, I would say it does improve on the original, but it's not enough. It's the same thing as Wild World, which was the same thing as Animal Crossing on the GameCube, which was the same thing as Animal Forest on the Nintendo 64 and Animal Forest E+. I mean, come on, Nintendo, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm not paying, you know, $35 for the same game that's been out since 2000. That's crazy. I'm not paying for the same thing. You're going to have to give me more than just a few incremental upgrades, few new fishes and fishing and insects to catch. I mean, and okay, yeah, and a few new holidays and maybe a few new things in your collection for your house and stuff. I mean, it's like it builds on each thing in the game, each element of the game, but it's not enough. It's like, come on. And I don't use the Wii Speak, the little Wii Speak microphone thing. I would never use that. I don't use my Wii to talk to people. I don't, that's what I got Xbox Live for on my 360. I don't use my Wii Speak for that. And I don't have any friends that would play Animal Crossing anyway. Not like that. Not who would use the Wii Speak. So I don't know, like, what Nintendo was aiming for there. But, as longtime Animal Crossing player now, it's like, okay, give me something new, Nintendo. This is not cool. Give me something new. And I really started to break my addiction to Animal Crossing, because I will come out and tell you I was addicted to it. I really started to break my addiction to Animal Crossing in 2007, when not only did I had to start over again in Animal Crossing after I just freaking caught all the fish and insects in the DS version, I remember thinking, you know, why am I doing this again? I'm not catching everything again. This is crazy. I'm just gonna put in a code and give myself all the insects and stuff, because I'm not doing this again. It was a struggle to get everything, and I remember trying to catch a banded dragonfly, and the yellow banded dragonflies, and that was enough for me, and bees. I hate trying to catch bees in that game. Not honeybees, but like bees in the trees that you have to shake the trees. I said I would not do that again. And I remember thinking, you know, I spent a lot of time using a guide, looking up various things. I had looked in that guide so much that I knew the prices that Nook would pay for certain items off the top of my head. If my husband, who was also playing Animal Crossing, asked me, you know, hey, how much Nook will give me for a banded dragonfly, I could immediately tell him 4,500 bells. And I was like, that's just ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Why do I know that? And I know off the top of my head Banded dragonfly, 4,500. Bees that you shake out of the tree, 4,500. Certain butterflies, you can get up to 2,000 or 3,000 bells for. And I knew when I was in the game which ones I could spot and immediately catch. Like beetles and stuff, 6,000 bells. Sometimes up to 10,000. Like Goliath beetles, you get a lot of money for those. Tarantulas and scorpions, you can get a lot of for those too. Cold camp, 10,000 bells right off the top of my head. I mean, I knew certain sharks too in the DS version. I was like, this is ridiculous. I know far too much about this game. I even knew, and speaking of the codes, the universal codes that you could put in a nook, that was the exploit. In the GameCube version, that was the exploit that you could put these codes in and get any item in the game just about from Nook. Well, what most people didn't know about the universal codes was where they were dummy codes placed in the game by Nintendo, so that the developers could go in at any time, get these items if they wanted to, and place them in their character houses to test. Well, somebody at Nintendo forgot to take them out, or just forgot to lock them so that nobody could get them. Well, I knew certain codes. I knew what to use to get certain items, such as you could exploit it, give yourself 100 turnips, and would just wait for a day, just go check with Nook and see how much he was selling for turnips. He was asking for turnips. Like say $1,000, which I did this one day. I waited and he asked for like 1,038 per turnip. Well, I put in a code for 100 turnips. That's a lot of money. That is a whole lot of money. So, I knew then when I realized when I was going through all this trouble, I knew that I was spending too much time playing Animal Crossing and that I was addicted, and I realized then it was time to break the cycle of addiction, and I did. I literally, once I finished certain things in Animal Crossing, I put it down cold turkey. And to right now, I have not played Animal Crossing proper on my DS Lite in probably about, I'd say probably about 4 months. Once I moved to where I am now, I was playing Animal Crossing and then I put it down because I had to start over again. And that was the fifth or sixth time. That was the final time and I said, no, I'm not doing it again. So I have not picked it up in some time. The last time I played Animal Crossing, my husband's character and my character staged a third mock wedding because we both had to. We staged one mock wedding in our original DS version because we both had it. Then they got stolen. We staged a second mock wedding in Animal Crossing when we bought it again for DS because we both bought copies again. And then I had to start over again. So we staged a third mock wedding for our characters, so that our characters would also be married in the game, quote unquote. And it was really adorable. Like, I designed a wedding dress. I bought a veil. Went and got my little hair done, my character's hair done at the hair salon. And my husband got a tuxedo, and we met down on the beach of my town. And we typed in little vows we wanted to say to each other, and then we were married, quote unquote. So, we spent a lot of time playing Animal Crossing, and we play it together. We actually play it together. Like, he'll come to my town and help me do certain things, such as, you know, shape it up a little bit if it's been a while since I've played, or I'll go to his town and help him shape up his town, or I'll give him certain items. Like, he wanted the Zelda items, like the Triforce and the Master Sword. So I put in a code in my town to get it, and I gave it to him. Like, I dropped it for him outside my house, and he came over and got it. And then we choose to live in separate towns. He had briefly considered moving into my town with my character, But I told him I prefer that he stayed in his own town, so that way I would have some place to visit. If I decided I wanted to go visit, you know, another player's town or something. I mean, we spend a lot of time playing Animal Crossing, but currently we are not playing it. We've managed to put it down. So, I was recently looking to invest in City Folk. Possibly, I said I wasn't going to start the game again, and I wasn't going to start up Animal Crossing again. But I was like, okay, you know, it would be nice to have, and I like the fact that I can now take in-game pictures, finally. So, much like Smash Brothers, you can take in-game pictures of what's going on, and I like that feature, I really do. Of course, I know how to save my pictures out, because I have a bin.bin decryptor, photo decryptor, that takes care of that. So I can get my pictures easily. But I don't know. I couldn't find a copy of it when I went looking the other day and when I was in Best Buy. And I couldn't. I don't know. I don't know what was going on with Best Buy. And the one copy they did have, it had the microphone included. And I was like, I don't want the microphone. I'm not going to use this. Who am I going to talk to? Who am I going to talk to? So, I wound up not using it. And I remember saying, I'm not going to buy this right now. So I held off on buying it, but, you know, I might just pick it up again. I might pick up Animal Crossing again on DS. I might get DS. I'll play it on DS Lite. I've been playing Scribblenauts recently because it just came out. And so I'm kind of like looking at Animal Crossing like, yeah, I'll put you off for a little while. But I'll try to play again so that I can, because we're doing a feature. We're going to do a feature on Animal Crossing Addiction in a couple of months. Probably, it'll be sometime next year, and maybe not even next year. It might even be the year after that, based on my list of features to do and how often we publish. I'm going to do a story on my battle with Animal Crossing Addiction and how I managed to overcome that, which is, you know, the subject of this podcast, but you'll be able to see it in print form and see my character pictures and how my town looks and, you know, what I did in the original Animal Crossing and what I'm doing in the DS version if I can get pictures from that. So I'm looking forward to doing that kind of, sort of, just because I've successfully broken the addiction to Animal Crossing. But it's not something that I feel like I can pick up and not play a whole lot and escape that addiction again, even though I dropped it cold turkey. But we'll see. So, this has been Lindsay Mosley talking this week about Animal Crossing. Next week, we're looking at video game music. That is a very, very, very popular subject around the Mosley household. We love video game music. There is nothing else. I mean, we're musical people. We listen to music all the time. We're heavily into different genres of music. But video game music holds a very special place in both mine and Jamie's hearts. We're very, very musically inclined with our video games. And, you know, there's certain games we won't even play that if it doesn't have good music. So, we're going to be talking about that. That's going to be really, really, really fun to talk about. And the week after that, we're looking at great gaming on the go. Even though neither one of us have a PSP, I'm thinking about getting one and why I think it's possible I might buy one, but we both have a DS, so we're going to be talking about games that we bought, that we have right now, and games that we bought in the past, and what we're playing right now, and what we really, really like, and what we really don't like on DS. So that should be very fun feature, too, so, you know, keep an ear out for that, and look for us in the coming weeks to talk about these things. Thank you for listening. As always, we appreciate it. We'll see you next week.